Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week two of our Advent sermon series called Divine Disruptions, where what we're doing is examining some of the most important parts of the Christmas story, where God shows up in big ways to not only see what happens, but to try to learn what to expect and how we should respond when God happens to show up in our lives. And so this week, and to continue to go even deeper into this topic, we are going to be examining the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, when it comes to Mary, truth is, we really don't know that much about her, in that the Bible mentions her in a couple of different places without filling in much about her life, which means to help us get a better picture of who Mary was, we have to use a bit of history to try to fill in the gaps, doing the best we can. So what the Bible does tell us about Mary is she was from Nazareth. And what we know about Nazareth at that time, using the historical data, is it was a small Jewish village with a population of no more than 300 to 500 people, with a size of about 4 to 5 square miles, and was located in the hill country of Lower Galilee, approximately 15 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. The economy of Nazareth was primarily subsistence farming, where most families likely engaged in growing crops, such as grains, olives, and even grapes, with many probably keeping small herds of animals. Or, according to the archaeological evidence, Nazareth was a peasant society, with most people living at or near the poverty line. And what that means is that, in all likelihood, Mary was a part of a normal Jewish family, in a small, tight-knit community where everyone knew everyone else. Her father was most likely a farmer who had small herds of animals to provide milk and meat, and where Mary fit into all of that, given she was probably 13 to 15 years old, is like was expected of most girls at that time. She likely worked in the home with her mother, preparing food, caring for her younger brothers and sisters, making clothing, gathering water, milking the goats, and a whole lot of other things that were required to help her family survive. Or what the historical evidence shows us is there seems to be nothing special about the girl, because what we can tell about Mary before the angel showed up is she was probably living a very difficult life in comparison to the way that most Jewish girls lived at that time. And yet, the one exciting thing that was happening in her life at that time, which the Bible tells us about, is that Mary got engaged or was betrothed to this man named Joseph. And what that meant for her, because of the way that betrothal and marriage worked at that time, is Mary was probably in the process of spending a year getting everything ready for her new life, which I'm sure was a scary thing. It was exciting all at the same time, where she dreamed about being married, becoming a mother, and what her life might become. Again, all of which was normal in the ancient Jewish world. And yet, it's into all of that normalness where out of nowhere, God shows up through another one of his messengers and does this. Luke 26 through 28 begins. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Or maybe to get how strange and crazy this event must have been for Mary, I just want you to imagine that on some ordinary average day, as you're out living your ordinary average life, that from out of nowhere, one of God's messengers, without any kind of warning, somehow just shows up in your life. Yeah, how do you think you would have reacted to something like that happening in your life? Well, that's the place where this teenage girl, mind you, finds herself as the angel Gabriel just shows up. Which, of course, is why Mary responds like this. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Or note again that just like with Zechariah, that when the angel shows up here, this is not one of those warm and fuzzy moments where she instantly experiences the peace of God, but it's something, again, that scares her half to death. So Gabriel responds, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." But then it seems, without taking a breath, Gabriel then goes on to tell her this: "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Or not only was Mary just hit with the fact that she is going to become a mom, which is a big deal, right? But this messenger then goes on to tell her that this child is going to be the Son of God, the Messiah. And yes, I know, we've all heard this story hundreds, if not thousands of times before. So we just, when we read it, we think it's ordinary. But the truth is, this story is anything but ordinary. But what's going on here is absolutely extraordinary, because what is happening is God has interrupted the life of Mary to invite her to play a huge part in how God plans to disrupt the entire world through her son. I mean, can you even imagine what Mary, this teenager, must have been feeling in this place? I mean, personally, I'm amazed she just didn't take off running in the other direction because of how big this all is. But for some reason, she doesn't. No, instead, as she is trying to get her brain wrapped around all of this, she asks Gabriel a question to get some clarity on how this is going to take place. So she responds, "How will this be since I am a virgin? How will this be since I am a virgin?" Or, "Hey, Mr. Gabriel, I get the gist of what you're saying here, but what I'm confused about is, how is it that I can have a child given I've never been with a man? I mean, don't you have to be with a man to have a child?" To which the messenger responds with even more craziness, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Yeah, you heard that right. Not only has Mary learned that she is going to be giving birth to the Savior of the world, but now gets hit with how this is going to happen, in that God, the creator of the universe, the almighty and everlasting one, through the power of the Spirit, is going to impregnate her, meaning this child that she is going to be bringing into the world is going to be part human and part divine at the exact same time. And yet for me, the most astonishing thing about this story that we all just kind of take for granted is how this teenage girl responds when God shows up and disrupts everything about her life. Because when you think about it, just a few minutes before the angel showed up, Mary was just doing what teenage girls do, getting ready for her marriage, dreaming about what her new life was going to be about, probably doing chores as well. And now she is forced to make the difficult decision regarding becoming the mother of the Savior of the world. And yet it seems, without wavering or any kind of hesitation, she responds like this: "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Yeah. What this teenage girl does when she gets hit with all of this is she basically says, "I am your servant. Let's do this. Let's see where this thing goes." And yet, now that you're wrestling with all of that, now what I want us to get into is what this story has to teach us about what to expect and how we should respond when God happens to show up in our lives. So again, like we learned last week, please know that divine disruptions don't just happen when an angel of the Lord shows up and does what he did for Mary, but can actually happen in a variety of ways, oftentimes normal, ordinary ways. For example, it can happen when God puts a dream in our hearts that just won't let us go. It can happen when opportunities arise and we now have a big choice to make. And it can even happen when we get caught doing something we know we shouldn't be doing and are forced to make some significant changes. Or what you need to get is that most of the time, these divine disruptions seem to happen through other people or events in the world as we know it. Which again, it's not a bad thing. And yet is something that when it does happen is usually not warm and fuzzy. Now, like with Mary, oftentimes when God shows up, we experience it as a disruption. Something that just hits us from out of the blue, causing our minds to spin and our world to tilt, because everything about our lives is going to change. And yet what Mary reveals to us about how we should be responding to these divine disruptions when they happen to us is instead of running or making excuses or fighting against what God is trying to do, which I think most of us do a whole lot of the time, what we need to do, which is way easier said than done, is whether we understand it or not, or whether we like it or not, we got to get a whole lot better at learning to trust that our God knows better than we do what's best for our lives. And in turn, just say, yes, let's do this. Or like Mary, we need to get really, really good that when God shows up in our lives, it's saying, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And yet for me, the most important thing that I think we can learn from what is happening to Mary here by taking into account what happens after she says yes, you know, the rest of her life, is to realize that just because we say yes to a divine disruption or God showing us to call us into this new thing, that doesn't mean our lives are going to get easier. And it doesn't even mean that our lives are now going to turn out exactly the way we wanted them to. Like somehow God is this magic genie who just grants our every wish. No, what you were saying yes to when God shows up is a life where you get to be a part of something bigger than yourself. A life where God uses you to make a real difference in people's lives and in the world, or a life that actually matters, even though it's probably going to be more difficult than if you just said no. Or think about it in this way. What if Mary would have said no to the opportunity to become the mother of the Savior of the world? Well, of course, we can't know this for sure, but counterfactually speaking, I think you can make a pretty strong case that her life would have been much easier if she would have just said no, in that she wouldn't have to try to explain to her family and her fiancé, along with her close-knit community, that she didn't cheat, but has been impregnated by God. She wouldn't have to face the possibility of being stoned to death because people thought she committed adultery. And then after Jesus was born, she wouldn't have had to live with the pressure of raising this special child and all that goes along with that. And with Jesus' ministry, she wouldn't have had to spend her life worrying about him and his life because of everyone who was out to get him. But most importantly, she wouldn't have had to watch him die on the cross. And yet with all of that, I'll bet that if she had to make that choice again, that she would say yes, or she would pray that exact same prayer, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And all because even though saying yes made her life more difficult, it also made her life better. And that she got to play a part in something bigger than herself, something that really mattered and made a difference. Or she got to play her part in causing God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, ultimately making our lives and our world a better place for everyone. And really, who doesn't want to live a life that matters, a life that actually makes a difference? And so what I think all of that helps us to see about how we should go about responding to our divine disruptions is, first of all, again, we shouldn't expect some warm and fuzzy mountaintop experience where the peace of God just comes in and takes over, but instead should expect a whole lot of discomfort and confusion as God goes about calling us from where we are to where we need to be, or as God goes about transforming our lives forever. And then when God does show up and things do get uncomfortable, instead of doing what comes natural to us, running, making excuses, fighting against it, whatever it is, like Mary, we need to learn how to embrace it, trusting that God knows more than we do, or trusting God more than we trust ourselves. And all because, even though saying yes to God is oftentimes something that makes our lives harder, it also makes our lives better. Because in turn, God is going to be using us to do something that matters, to do something that makes a difference as we play our small part in causing God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But yes, it is a risk. Yes, it's probably going to get harder. But who doesn't want to live a life that actually makes a difference? Well, that's what saying yes to God's call, that's what saying yes to those divine disruptions does, if we will just do it. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and as we make our way through this sermon series, talking about how you show up in our life, It's my hope and my prayer that you will help us to understand what usually happens when you show up, and then in turn, how we should be responding. Or again, Lord, remind us, as we talked about last week, that oftentimes when you show up, it's not a warm and fuzzy moment, but something that disrupts everything, something that interrupts where we thought we were going. And yet when we say yes, or when we lean into that discomfort that happens, oh Lord, by trusting you more than we trust ourselves, what then you do in our lives is you lead us into a life that matters, a life that makes a difference, a life where we really do get to bring heaven to earth in all that we do. Lord, we ask all of this in your name and for our sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.